keep learning and setting really big, ambitious goals for yourself, because the more that you grow yourself, the more that you're going to be able to grow and help impact and serve others.
Welcome, my friend, to the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And as a veteran of the financial services industry, I was curious to find out why, despite all the good that financial professionals do, that yet the term financial advisor would clear the room so fast at a dinner party. Why was this? And what was this gap between consumers of financial services and the providers of those services? In this podcast, I seek to close this gap by having forward-moving conversations to advance the profession of giving financial advice and provide tools to the next generation of financial professionals to serve their clients at the highest level. You see, as providers of financial services, we have the awesome privilege of partnering with consumers to help change family trees, normalize the creation of wealth, and help the industry as a whole do less harm and more good. So it's time to sit back and enjoy the conversation. In this episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, we continue with season 6's theme of the talent pipeline in financial services, and we speak with Christian Burke on developing the next gen financial professional. Christian's time as a top producer and trainer of financial professionals allowed her to speak very intelligently about starting with the vision, sticking with the plan, and the success for the next generation financial professional. We cover how to get clear on your goals for not only yourself, but also your clients. We revisit a podcast called The Top Lessons of 2021 that Christian produced, allowing advisors to reflect as a part of their goal setting process. We also talked about the strategies and techniques on not just creating a plan, but actually sticking to one. And Christian provides her insights and perspectives on how to do this. Finally, we cover the success of the next generation financial professional and what that skill set looks like for the professional of the future. So many things we covered in this one. Get your pen and paper out. It's time to sit back and enjoy the conversation. Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson, and we are helping next generation financial advisors shape their clients' best interest. And we got today for developing the next gen financial professional, Christian Burke. Christian, your mission is to help others maximize their potential and achieve their definitions of success. As a goal achievement coach, you collaborate with clients to maximize their potential and achieve their definitions of success. You launch your coaching practice with over a decade of experience coaching and developing hundreds within a Fortune 200 firm. You have spoken at numerous annual meetings, regional meetings, leadership clinics, and women's summits. Most recently, you coached a team of financial advisors that led the company in production nationwide and recruited over 200 college financial representatives into the Northwestern Mutual nationally recognized internship program and elevating the Los Angeles office internship program from number 76 to number 5 in the company. Kudos there. That's a big, big achievement. You're passionate about empowering women to elevate their careers. Your curiosity for work-life integration blossomed in graduate school, where you authored your thesis on the topic of work-life balance, specifically as it related to women, after concluding that the very word balance, which I agree, communicated an unrealistic reality, you started your own quest to help others understand how to thrive personally and professionally. And now you specialize in helping clients gain goal clarity, establishing plans to achieve goals, and tracking progress. Outside of that, you enjoy running. You've completed 8 marathons. I would hate to see what that would do to my knees. You practice yoga. And you enjoy reading and you believe in progress over perfection. Welcome to the podcast.
Dominique, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Developing the next generation financial professional. I think there's a lot that can be said on this topic because when we think about the way that this business has evolved in the very short time that it's been around, we think about financial advice, financial planning, the consumer needs are changing all the time. And making sure that aspiring financial professionals, as well as people that are already in the business, understand that and are able to meet clients where they're at, I think is super important. What are your thoughts around that just before we get it kicked off?
Absolutely. I think that financial advisors need to be very adaptable and also have a passion for learning, because consumers have a ton of access to information right at their fingertips. And so advisors, if they are very skilled at asking questions and slowing down and listening, they're going to be better equipped to meet their clients where they're at, and clients are going to feel heard. And if people are feeling heard, they're going to be more likely to come back and meet with an advisor again, and then take that advisor's advice and implement recommendations.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. I'm glad you said that. It's a perfect segue to what I want to talk about first with you is starting with the vision. I've often been telling the people that I'm working with and coaching that it's hard to give away what you don't have. And what I mean by that is you're sitting down with the client, you're asking them about their goals, the most intimate parts of their life, which is their money. And you haven't even done a financial plan yourself. Like, let's just start there with how that vision starts. And starting with the vision, I wonder if you can kind of talk on that about just making sure that we got a really good foundation as a financial professional, and what your thoughts on where do you start when it comes to that?
When it comes to vision, it's a simple concept, but difficult in execution. And Dominique, I think it's difficult in execution because vision can evoke some fears. It can evoke some self-doubts. It can evoke some skepticism. And can I really achieve this? And how can I think this far into the future? So when I'm working with financial advisors and helping them think through their vision, I recommend that they shift away from the perspective of having this final document, and that you sit down, you write a 10-year vision, and once it's written, it's done and it is set in stone. And instead, I recommend that they move towards a draft that should be revisited, a draft that should evolve, because advisors are going to grow and change as they grow in their career. As you mentioned, some advisors, when they start in the business, they're starting with their own foundational financial planning. They're getting very clear on their budget. They're doing their risk management planning, their wealth accumulation. And as they continue to grow themselves, they're going to be able to grow others. So that vision should evolve. And I recommend that advisors have a very strategic format for checking in with their vision. At the end of the year, when they're doing business planning, every quarter, when they're doing a quarterly business plan review, those are opportune times to revisit your vision and ask yourself, what's changed? What is still true? Is this still the business I'm building? Is this still the life that I'm seeking? Is this still the impact that I desire to make? And if it isn't, rewrite it, evolve it, change it, because that vision is so critically important for helping you have clarity on where you're going, why you're going there, who you want to impact, who you want to serve. And that vision can be a powerful motivator in the tough days, because let's face it, there are going to be a lot of tough days if you are in the financial advising career.
You make a good point. Like, it seems like we make them harder. We make those tough days harder, or more frequent, at least, when we're not clear, right? Like, I think, I mean, how do you go into, how can you stand flat-footed in your most authentic version of yourself with a client when you haven't done the work yourself, right? Like how does that even happen? And I love the way that you give, you know, margin or license to say, it doesn't have to be this set in stone thing. Like, it can change and evolve, because isn't that what we're asking our clients to do? Like, would you agree?
Absolutely, right? Advisors should meet with their clients a couple times a year to review and update their plans. And so clients' lives are going to change. An advisor's practice is going to grow and change. They might grow teams. They might specialize in a different area. So that vision is going to evolve. And each step you take towards your vision, it should start to get clearer and clearer and clearer. See, that's where I think some people get so lost, is they sit and they wait and they're like, oh, I got to think of the perfect vision and where I want to be and who I want to be in the practice I want to have, when in reality, we got to start taking some action, because it's our action steps that are going to help us get more clarity.
No, I love that. I think, man, so there's, let me see which rabbit trail that you just opened up. Do you want me to, I want to hop down. I think when it comes to it, let's go back to what you said at the beginning. It's a very simple concept, but it gets a little complex on execution. What do you think comes from that? Because before we get to vision, I think there has to be maybe some pre-work that's done that maybe helps some person articulate that. And so when we're talking to the next gen financial professional, whether they're in the business or wanting to get into the business, I think next gen is just kind of like a adjective to describe the type of person that's going to be working with clients of the future. What will you, what advice do you have, or what maybe some things that you've seen work that kind of help with that pre-work of a vision?
So a couple of thoughts come to my mind. So first, we need to clarify what type of vision we're writing. And I thought, Dominique, I thought I was really good. I started working with a new business coach this year, and she asked, do I have a vision? I'm like, of course I have a vision. I'm a coach. I've got a 10-year vision. I wrote it. It's dated for 2030. Let me send it to you. And I sent it to her, and she's like, this is a great vision for your life. What about your business vision? I'm like, oh no, that there's some stuff in there. There's a paragraph in there about my business. And she's like, no, 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 no. Like, we've been working now over the last couple of months on really building out my specific business vision. So when we talk about vision, there's a life vision. There's the vision for your practice, the vision for the advisor's practice. And then there's also the vision that's client facing. So that vision that's going on a website that's helping the clients look at, where are you looking to go as an advisor? So there's almost three different types of visions people can write and people can explore. So
Pause right there. That's an interesting thought. Like, because you've kind of opened up a whole marketing arm here, because your clients, man, I'm hesitant to say this, but I got to keep it real. Like, us financial advisors, we really kind of sell thin air. We don't really have, like, we sell the life that could be when you follow all these things. And to have a client facing vision is very important, so that you can future pace them of what it's going to be to work with you. Your business vision has nothing to do with that, and your personal vision has nothing to do with that. So you make a really good point. So go ahead and unpack that, because I just have to pause and think about that. It's like, that's actually a really good point.
Well, and sometimes people will say, oh yeah, I have a vision, because they've got that vision statement on their website. And that's fantastic. That gives us an idea of the impact you want to make with clients and where you see your client relationships going. But that's not the details that are going to help you make strategic business decisions and align your goals with what you're looking to accomplish. And so that's one piece of the vision component. And if you really get strategic with your business vision, you're spending time thinking about, who are the clients you're serving? What does your team look like? What type of planning are you doing? How are you known in the community? What legacy are you leaving, and what legacy are you building? And those type of questions, and spending time reflecting on those questions, can help you set incredibly meaningful business goals. And that's really where a lot of my passion for vision started from, Dominique, is I would work with advisors. As you read in my bio, I have a lot of experience coaching and working with advisors. I've been working with them since 2009. And they'd come in and they'd tell me their goal. And you know, whether it was a risk management product premium goal, or a number of new client goal, or an AUM goal, whatever their goal was. And I would just get so frustrated. And I didn't understand how people could be so far off track from their goal. And then I realized, wait, they're missing that critical component, that critical connection of what that goal is leading them towards. And that's where spending some time working on that bigger business vision will come into play. And there are going to be days where you are not feeling like picking up the phone, or you don't want to ask for referrals, or you're like, oh, I'm really not going to challenge my client to take that action. And then you start thinking about that life vision. What does that life look like that you want to live? And how much time are you spending with your family? And what is your lifestyle looking like? And sometimes it's that vision that can motivate you. So these three types of visions, personal, lifestyle, business, and then the client facing, they serve different purposes. And I don't think they all have to be drafted in one setting. In fact, it can take some time. As I mentioned, I've had several coaching sessions with my coach this year alone, as we're getting clearer and clearer on the business vision. So it's really important.
Yeah, no, you. So as you were talking, I was actually reflecting. You said something about, I think this your top lessons of 2021. You were saying reflecting as a part of the goal process or goal setting process, which I think is really key. I don't know how many people do, just to kind of like, you know, the ABCs of this kind of stuff. You know, when you're trying to create a vision, it is really helpful to kind of go back, you know, maybe if you had a journal or something, it would be really, really helpful to kind of see what your wins, what your losses were, strengths, weaknesses, to kind of be reflecting on some of those things. And I'm pretty sure that goes in the process. I've had Brian Moran, author of the 12-Week Year, on before, and he talked about some really, really interesting things that I want to go into now, because you talked about, you just mentioned this, what's going to essentially motivate you, incentivize you towards the behavior that you say you want. And that's what we do with our clients. You know, it's great to create a financial plan, and God knows I've created hundreds of them at this point, but they don't do anything if the client doesn't move and behave properly, right? So one of the things I always bring up to clients is, look, this is what you said you wanted. This is the life you said you wanted, and this is how we get there. So let's talk about the disconnect. Let's talk about the disconnect with the next generation financial professional when they're saying they want these things, but the way they're showing up in life right now with their actions, behaviors, beliefs, yada, 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 is not doing that. How would you recommend reconciling that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is such a big topic.
Yeah.
So after coaching a lot of financial advisors, I have learned that there are four characteristics of advisors who set goals and achieve those goals. And Dominique, those four characteristics are clarity, confidence, courage, and consistency. Clarity, we've already started to explore with vision. Clarity is knowing what you want and why you want it. Confidence is when who you think you are aligns with action in the direction of your goals. Courage is the ability to embrace discomfort to grow in the direction of your goals. And then consistency is repeating the actions, the habits, and the beliefs that lead to goal achievement. So let's unpack those here.
Bit. We've covered clarity pretty good. I got to get into this confidence one, because the confidence, I think, I was just on a coaching call yesterday before you go into this, where the advisor, they were at an internal conflict. And they are showing up as two different persons, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And I'm like, who's going to show up today? That's happening in front of your client. That's the reason why you don't feel like you can charge this amount for your services. That's the reason why you don't feel worth it, because you haven't owned one of those identities. So maybe talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. And confidence is a big one in my work with women, because imposter syndrome comes up a lot in those conversations.
Talk about that. Yeah.
Right. So let's, first of all, let's talk through a little bit about here imposter syndrome and some of the ways that I think imposter syndrome can show up for advisors. So first of all, imposter syndrome is when you feel underqualified for a role or an opportunity. So maybe you don't feel qualified to be giving advice, or maybe you don't feel qualified to work with a certain type of client, and you're doubting yourself, you're minimizing your own experiences, and you're really wreaking havoc on your confidence. So a lot of times I see imposter syndrome show up when people focus too much on being new. So a career changer is passionate about this industry. They want to build a financial planning practice. And so they career change from another experience. And all they think about is how new they are. And they tell themselves a story that they're underqualified. And one of my favorite things to do is to pause and to ask, well, how many years experience do you have building relationships? How many years of experience do you have asking questions and having conversations with people? Because yes, you might not have all the years of experience building the detailed plans, but the things that can really help you build those deep relationships with clients, questions, seeking to understand, helping a client feel heard, you've likely been doing for years in your other roles and experiences. So focus on that, overemphasize that, and then build a plan to get your skill set up to par on the financial advising side of the business. So when we underemphasize our skills, that can really trigger that imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about courage.
Yes, courage. So look, if you are going to step into a role of a financial advisor, or if you're already in a role and you want to get to that next level, it's going to require doing some things that are a bit uncomfortable to get to that next stage.
a bit uncomfortable.
Okay, maybe a lot uncomfortable, right? I don't want to freak everyone out here.
With all the distractions and things vying for your attention on a day-to-day basis, when do you have time to consider what your purpose is? Have you thought about what it is going to take to achieve your goals? After having dozens of conversations with clients, I decided to provide a simple framework on how you can answer those questions. That framework is contained in my book called Assess, Address, and Adjust, a practical guide to becoming unstuck and achieving your goals. Look, if you've ever felt that you're losing the time for money trade and want to start winning in the next 30 days with real practical tips to improve your situation, or if you're not motivated to push through the day because you have a job you don't enjoy, a relationship you're ready to get out of, or just feel like you're not where you want to be in life, this book is for you, my friend. If you're ready to change that uncomfortable level of dissatisfaction that's currently going on in your life, and you want the tools to help you get unstuck, then head on over to domhendersonsr.com/the-unstuck-book. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
Everyone defines what is comfortable or uncomfortable differently, but typically it shows up in some pretty common themes. And Dominique, I see these themes in new advisors and veteran advisors. And those themes are prioritizing outreach to your clients, whether you're making old school phone calls or you're sending text messages, right? But it's prioritizing that time to outreach to new clients. And the other one is asking for referrals to grow your business. And a lot of times it's asking for that referral. Like, we all know who we want to work with and who we want to serve, but we might not have the courage to ask for that referral. And so in order to grow your courage, I think you first start exploring, what are you really afraid of? Are you afraid of failing? Or are you afraid of success? And a lot of times, a fear of success is a topic that is very real, that's not talked about a lot. Mm. It's sometimes easier to think about fear of failure. It's like, oh, I don't want to be embarrassed, or oh, I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. But fear of success is when you start to sabotage, you self-sabotage your results because you're afraid of, how is this going to change my relationships? How are people going to think of me differently because I'm at this next level? And so you start telling yourself all these stories. And that's where working with a coach.
No. I'm sorry to interrupt your thought. I have to jump in. It's so juicy. I think when you are in this type of any industry, but specifically financial services, where you can, if you do the right things consistently, you can notice a lot of growth in your business, which is going to translate to your personal finances and all that other kind of stuff. And I think it's very likely that your, let's call it, circle of friends in one season of life will change. And so some people may be uncomfortable with that level of change with different seasons. That's the way I look at it. I mean, now, you know, at the time we're recording this, I'm 46. And so I'm not a spring chicken. I'm not old either. But at the same time, I've had those different seasons in my life where friend groups have to change. Like, I don't spend as much time with you because I'm on a different track than you. Still love you. It's all good. But we can't hang out as much. And I think some people have difficulty maybe putting those boundaries on their relationships that, like you said, impede their success track and sometimes sabotage it. Is that what you're kind of saying with courage and whatnot?
Absolutely. So if you want to grow your courage and your confidence, look at the people you are surrounding yourself with, consider the books you're reading and the podcasts you're listening to. And if you want to get to that next level, you better be surrounding yourself with people at that level, above that level, because you're right. All of those things impact the way we think, and the people we surround ourselves impact the way that we believe. One of the things I learned, Dominique, that I think was so helpful with relationships is different relationships can play different roles for you. So I can have a group of girlfriends where we go out and we have fun. Now I need to adjust my expectation that that's not the group of girlfriends where I'm going to go and I'm going to talk business. So then, right, that's where I have my coach. That's where I have my mentors. That's where I have my own study groups that I'm a part of. Those are the spaces for me to talk business. So once I started to get clear, like, oh, not all of my relationships are supposed to serve all the same areas. That really helped. But yes, I agree. And Dominique, a lot of my clients, they talk about it and it's hard. People don't talk about that transition of relationships in your life, because as you're growing and you're striving to get to that next level, you're thinking different. You might be acting different. You're saying no to different invitations that you used to say yes to, because you got goals, you're focused, you got a vision you're working on. And that is, there's a little bit of mourning that might need to happen as you're on your growth journey.
No, that's real talk. Mourning and grieving those parts of your life or relationships that you can't continue at the same level. I want to transition a little bit, I want to ask about this whole notion about sticking to a plan, because we get clarity. We find the different ways that we're showing up with confidence and courage. And I think when we think about sticking to a plan, I wonder if you can kind of give some insight onto, you know, just maybe like rudimentary things, simple things that you've seen successful advisors use versus like the non-successful stories. Let's call them plan killers versus plan builders, if you will. Like the things that, and I think we've mentioned some of them, like you might have to change the group of people you hang out, or at least the amount of time that you hang out with them if you're trying to aspire to other levels. What are some other thoughts that come to mind?
Well, one is go back to those four characteristics of goal achievers: clarity, confidence, courage, consistency, and evaluate yourself. Here goes that reflection piece again. Are you clear? What's your confidence level? Are you acting courageously? And then how are you defining consistency? So take a look and start there. And then, Dominique, I'll answer this really quickly with one word, and then I can share with you four roadblocks to goal achievement.
Okay.
So the one word that I think of when it comes to plan killers and plan builders is mindset. Mm-hmm. Your mindset can kill your plan, or your mindset can build your plan.
Yeah.
So the things that you're thinking, the thoughts you have, the way you talk to yourself, start becoming very aware of those stories that are going through your mind, the thoughts that you have. And that might be some of the hardest work you need to do as an advisor, is around your mindset and developing an abundant mindset.
Wow.
And that's where, again, like we mentioned, it could be the people you're surrounding yourself with, hiring a coach, joining a mastermind group like you lead, reading books, podcasts like this. Those all help shape your mindset.
No, you said it in a word. I read a book that was actually suggested by one of the people we were talking about before we started recording this. A really old book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And in there, it talks about the theater of your mind. And one of the takeaways in that I got was, I get to say who's on stage. I get to pick the actors and the actresses, you know. And a lot of times I think people don't realize how much control they have over what goes on between, you know, the 4 inches or so in between their two ears. And a lot of times you're right. Not only is there a scarcity versus an abundance mentality, there's also a victim versus victor mentality, right? Everything's happening to me. And it's like, no, you can change this. You can change the narrative. You know, there are some bona fide instances of, I'm sure, abuse and things like that, but largely you can find a way to persist through those and get out of those situations and set yourself up for something else. And so, no, I'm glad you said that, and being consistent about that, right? And just perseverance, pushing through. I think this even probably starts to build, those four characteristics are great, clarity, confidence, courage, consistency, to build this skill set for the next generation financial advisor. What else would you kind of throw into that skill set?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the four roadblocks that are going to get in the way. Achieving your goal.
Part of that skill set is to have these as roadblocks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So recognize these, and then develop a plan to work through them. So number one roadblock: I don't have time. Mm. How often do you tell yourself, I don't have time to phone, I don't have time to get referrals, I don't have time to work on my CFP, I don't have time, has become such an automatic response in today's hustle culture and go, 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 go. And so one of the things that I encourage you to do is to ask yourself, Do I really not have time? Now, listen, you might be in a very busy season of your life. You might have just welcomed a new child. You might be caring for aging parents. And at that stage, you might honestly say, yeah, I don't have time to take that on. I have other priorities. However, more often than not, I don't have time as a cover up for lack of confidence, or you're feeling overwhelmed. You know, so often we think it's going to be this big to do, this big task, and we can work through I don't have time by simplifying the task in one step at a time. I don't have time, big, big roadblock. Our second roadblock is striving for perfection. Well, I've got to memorize this language. I hear this all the time with newer advisors. I'm going to work on my language and I'm going to memorize it before I try it. You know how you're going to get really good at your language? You're going to get really good at your language by using your language. So get to about 80% of having it memorized and where you like it, and then go out in the marketplace and use it. And you're going to get real-time feedback. You're going to see what resonates, see what doesn't resonate, and then evolve it and tweak it and change it. So be mindful of perfection that pops up and will keep you from taking action and keep you from achieving your goals. All right, third roadblock, very relevant for financial advisors, hesitation to self-promote. Hesitation to self-promote. So, well, I just don't know if I should ask for referrals, and have I deserved a referral? And if you're not spending the time getting clear on why you deserve a referral, why you love doing the work that you do, and who you want to impact and who you want to serve, this roadblock could prevent you from building a massive business that can make a very meaningful impact. So be mindful of hesitation to self-promote. And our final one, we started to explore it a little bit with the characteristics, is fear. So fear, my favorite acronym for fear, is false expectations appearing real. And if you find yourself hesitating to take action because you're afraid, then you can ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? And what is so bad about that? What is so bad about that? What is bad about that? And then flip the fear and ask yourself, what is the best that can happen? Because we have this natural negativity bias in our brain, and we're going to think and overemphasize the negativity. And if we spend some time thinking about the positive, you're like, wait a minute, you know what the real fear is? The real fear is not taking that action and getting all the good things that could potentially happen. So those four roadblocks.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think those roadblocks are so spot on. It just reminds me of all the work that Seth Godin has done talking about our lizard brain, that one that just wants to kind of be primal and protect us and thinks pretty pessimistic. So we couldn't end this conversation without giving you some space to talk about honor your ambition. What's that all about? How are you helping women with that? I think it sounds like it's a very, very needed niche inside of the arena that we're in. So maybe talk about that for a little bit as we bring this in for a landing.
Dominique, thank you so much for the opportunity to share Honor Your Ambition. I partnered with two women who together we collectively have over 40 years of experience that we have brought together to create the Honor Your Ambition Mastermind. It is 12 business acumen sessions, and each business acumen session is something that we thought, wow, if we knew this earlier in our businesses, earlier in our careers, we could be far more successful. Because a lot of times women, we have the ambition, we have the drive, we want to build a big business, we want to build a big practice. We just don't always have the business knowledge or the business acumen to do that. So we cover topics such as ownership mindset and prospecting and financials, confidence, topics that are going to give women tangible skills that they can take away from the business acumen sessions and apply to their businesses. We also, through the Honor Your Ambition Mastermind, have applications available for growth groups. So we've heard from a lot of women that they want to be in study groups with other like-minded women. We spoke earlier about how often as you're growing on your journey as an entrepreneur, as an advisor, it's sometimes hard to talk about what you're going through with your friends. They might not be at that same level. Yep. So the growth groups are going to be an opportunity to have 6 to 8 women in a group where they come together once a month for a mastermind. So if this sounds like something that you're thinking, I need this, I want the business acumen, I want to be around other ambitious women, head to honoryourambition.com. You can learn more and apply for a growth group.
Oh, that's great. I'll make sure that when this airs, we'll link that all up down in the show description and the show notes. I think that is an excellent opportunity. It's one of those things that I think sometimes you learn in definitely there's a lot of value in learning cross-disciplinary from other genders and stuff like that. But there's something to be said when you're around your own tribe. My wife just did some stuff with, it was just all women. And I was like, yeah, go do you, boo. Just, yeah. It's one of those things. I can't give that to you. I can't give that to you. Well, this has been great. As you know, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their ideal client at the next level. And I wonder what word or words of wisdom, Kristen, would you like to leave with the audience based on that?
So I would say keep learning and setting really big, ambitious goals for yourself, because the more that you grow yourself, the more that you're going to be able to grow and help impact and serve others.
Yes, I love that. It's all about serving others. I'm so glad you ended with that. Very, very appropriate skill to help develop the next generation financial professional. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your knowledge, your wisdom, and your perspective. Thank you for the deposit to the Jumpstart community. I know there's so many nuggets. People are going to have to go back and have to take it off of 1.5 times speed and listen to it at normal speed to get some of those notes.
I talk fast too, so it'll be real fast at 1.5 speed.
Yes, yes. Well, great stuff. Thank you, and have a very, very blessed day.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. You first might want to write down your most important takeaway and then give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. And remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate it if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to learn more about how Jumpstart can help you become a next generation financial professional or partner with you in finding next generation talent for your organization, send us an email at hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com, just in case you needed to get a pen to write that down. That's hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com. Bye for now, until our next conversation.